Hello, my name is Hintu Yalakit, meaning thunder rolling in the mountains. The white men call me Joseph, and you may do the same. I am 31 years old in this part of my story. I'm a native in the Nez Perce tribe located in the Wallowa Valley, Oregon. My father was the chief of my tribe, but he recently passed away. I have been elected as chief this year. The year is 1871. The whites have been a little hostile lately, but nothing has happened yet. They would like to take our land to live on, but my tribe has lived here for a long time. Fast forward to 1877. The whites got very aggressive about taking our land a little while ago, and the conflict started. This battle escalated into the Nez Perce War, which lasted 5 months. After being driven out of our home, we wandered for a while until we found a great spot to camp on August 8th. There were antelope, trout in the creek, and grassy meadows for our horses. We slept peacefully until dawn. A white man named Colonel John Gibbon and his army had been watching us. They attacked as the sun rose. The white men ran through our camp, killing men, women, and children. We fought back, but they had surprised us. They killed 89 of our fathers, mothers, children, brothers, and sisters before we got away. When we returned to bury our dead, we were horrified to recognize our family members. It was devastating. We had not realized the horrific truth about what happened in the chaos of people trying to escape from the massacre. A mere 33 white men were killed. This war continued for 2 more months. We were constantly running. They had our land. I had failed my father and my tribe. In 1878, we left on our adventure to make a new home in Montana. But to get there, we had to go through the Bitterroot Mountains. In June, we came upon a white man fort. I offered them a deal. If they let us pass, we would go through without hurting anyone. I thought this was a good deal. They declined my offer, so we left. We headed back the way we came and found a path that went around their fort. It went up high on the side of the mountain, and to them, it looked as though not even a goat could walk across. We sang as we passed, and the whites looked up in astonishment. They abandoned the fort. On September 30th, we were attacked again by the white men. They cut through the middle of our camp, splitting it in half. I was separated from my family, and I had no weapon. I wanted to be with them, to protect them. I ran through the white man army. I safely reached them, thankfully. As I got there, my wife was standing there with my gun. She handed it to me, saying, "Fight." We fought as best we could, but it was not enough. Snow had fallen all day, and we started digging into it. We retreated into the trenches we had dug. We decided to wait the white men out. I was devastated that I couldn't find my brother in the trenches, but I had more pressing issues. We were trapped and at the mercy of the white men. They made us an offer. If we surrendered, they would move us to a reservation in Oklahoma. I saw no other options. As much as I dreaded giving up our land forever, we surrendered. We were taken to a reservation with many other tribes. Some came very far away. It saddened me to hear of their stories, but they were similar to ours. They had also been driven out of their lands by the white men in an unfair and cruel way. A few years later, I returned to our old home. I planned to live out my last days where I also lived my first. I am 64 years old in the year 1904. This is a very old age compared to the lengths of my others' lives, so I know death will come soon. My home was very changed, and this made me sad. They had no respect for the nature of our old home. They killed whatever game they wanted, and they built their homes wherever they please. I moved into a teepee instead of the houses they offered me, for I still loved this land, and I wanted to be closer to it than the houses would let me. With all the sadness that I had endured in my life, I was happy to return to my roots and go out peacefully.